watch the Did you watch the Incredibles clips I put in the Discord?
And we're live.
I did not.
Hello, everyone.
Get your bingo cards out, everyone.
Welcome.
If everyone's wondering why Eli's on the bike, that's because he's trying to run away from his responsibilities. training. Welcome, everyone. Welcome to the next episode of Law Crimes. We're all here. We're ready to talk about some forbidden, heretical stuff. Today's topic is Inquisition, boys. Inquisitors, funny, goofy, you know, man.
Goofy. Well, there's many things I would call the Inquisition, but never goofy.
You ever wanted a guy to delete your search history? This is delete funny. Your search history, the faction.
We haven't been doing this for a minute, and they're waking me up.
That's a good one. Oh my gosh.
I was Grandmaster at Overwatch. I'm the opposite of that spectrum. Fuck you. I spent too much time in it.
That's not really a brag.
Hell, you were bragging about winning bot lobbies a minute ago. I don't want to hear it.
Now to my wins, my first time wins in bot lobbies on Fortnite. Thank you very much. Bro, listen, as I get closer to 30, my aim gets worse. So
it's the arthritis kicking in.
Yeah. It's the delusional, you know, speaking to the old gods sort of problem. So let me have this.
We already got Andy Mike going right now.
Thank you, Tom Warren. That's the least made bet I've ever seen. I mean, you're coming through, but it's like staticking.
Oh,
that's okay.
Before that, though, we
that
do
adds
have
to the experience.
Well, first of all, donation by Joseph Pollard. Thank you, brother. He says, you better make that damn bed, Colin, else I'm going to tell Colin.
You can't use him like the fucking boogeyman.
Doesn't care about the bed. Don't worry, bro. This is already a cursed setup today anyway. But before we get into the actual meat of the podcast, we do have a questions of the week. Thank you guys for your comments.
What are you doing? I'm opening the window. I usually take my shirt off when I do this because I get so warm.
But Inquisition Lord got my man sweaty.
Well, maybe next week.
Shout out to the remastered audio of this podcast.
Yep. We'd like to hear some of the comments from last podcast's question of the week, which was hashtag regiment. So the first one is from Sweetness 71775, hashtag regiment. Name, classified. Planet of origin, classified. Tactics, classified. Appearance, purple. Classified, 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 classified. Enemy specialty, orcs. Very good.
Was this an entry or an SCP article that you
found? It's the purple orcs. You can't see them. For a second, I thought it was Gene Seeders, and I was like, that would have been truly based. Document USA, thank you, brother. James Workshop is going in the Book of Grudges. I ordered my Thank Orc, got a bomb predator tank instead. emailed customer service. A week later, I got a reply amounting to, damn, that's crazy.
A bomb predator is pretty cool.
Crimson, shout out to Crimson Glory $5
take
bucks.
It off,
says, take it off.
Shooty, I think I got scammed. I wanted Andy to play Fork Knife with the short game of Pancreasless Edger and Hal. Oh, good. I'm glad someone got a name there.
He'll play next time.
When I'm
he can't. He's not going to avoid it forever.
No, I'm sorry. It was I had a commitment to a comedy thing, so I'm sorry.
Eli Collins' back is already, sorry, their shoulders are already sore from carrying me last time, so.
Well, I'll be playing on Switch, so I'm not promising particularly good gameplay.
That's good, because then we get Switch players.
They're ass.
Just body
like
them.
Us. And I'm just like,
after two games of bot wins that we're not going to live down.
Oh yeah, we should get Andy to play games beforehand so that we don't have to play bots.
How make your couch, bruh. It's actually a pillow. It's not
DJ
a
Beast, on the mess. Member for 3 months. Thank you, DJ. Eli's doing DJ cardio. Beast. What is Thank Colin you. Doing? Nothing.
Bloody shit. Music
there's
says,
two other guys in this call. Bloody shirt music, $2. Take it off, free the nip.
Yeah.
If you make enough donations, then I'll take it off. I think that makes me a prostitute. But it's okay.
Andy, what's the next question?
The next one is from Zach M5485 saying hashtag regiment. The regiment. It's an army of people named Reggie.
It's led
by Lord Regigigas and his three generals, Reggie Rock, Reggie Ice, and Reggie Steel. Pokemon. I know the reference.
I like the regiment.
I'd immediately want them all vaporized. Dead by first battle.
Why?
Why do you hate Pokemon?
I hate Pokemon. I just hate everything called Reg.
You just had an experience of a guy called Reg once.
Shout out to Reg in the chat who's listening. Yes, we hate you in particular.
Shout out Reggie, the YouTube channel. I don't hate you. Your stuff is funny. Crimson Glory, take it off.
Wow. All of us are going to get shirtless.
Thank you for the $10 Crimson Glory. I'm slightly convinced.
One day we'll have a Law Crimes monthly calendar and it'll just be all Eli in poses.
Law Crimes only fans? No boys in there.
Only crimes.
I'll show my tentacles. Clearly.
Anyway, moving on swiftly from that, the next one is from Huntsman. Let me just find it. Huntsman 7274 saying hashtag regiment. My guard regiment are known as the Pancreas Shock Troops, and they would get Law Crimes to talk about elves more often. There you go.
Yeah. I like this one. This one's good.
I thought you were going to say like an army of diabetics then for a second.
I don't like that one.
Before every battle, I was like, have you seen my needles? I need insulin. We've got to go on the, like, because
I have a pump.
No, but in the 41st millennium, they wouldn't have a pump. They'd be too like, nah.
I think they'd just be executed.
You're right.
That's hard. Are you a diabetic? Yeah. I know the Imperium's harsh, but
that absolutely counts as a drain on Imperial resources.
Yeah, but they got like geneticists and like mechanicists. They'd be like, here's a mechanical pancreas.
But if I'm a random schmuck, like if I joined the tech, you know, the tech priest, then probably, yeah. But, you know, if I'm just a random schmuck in the guard, no way in hell they're giving me that
money.
I feel like
you'd fall over and then they'd just turn you into corpse starch. They wouldn't like execute you. They'd just be like, oh, he's down. Get the shovel.
Team of Shooty said Law Crimes after dark over here, hashtag take it off Eli. Jesus. Poor Eli. Another one by Bunny Cop says, do you not love Reggie the unseen servant sacrificing his invisible self to save the bard? I have no idea what any of that meant.
I don't get that reference.
Something Baldur's Gate. I don't like Baldur's Gate. There's another me being about to be dogged on for an opinion. Ooh, I should not have opened my mouth. I don't like CRPGs, like that Rogue Trader game. I'm never going to play it because I don't care.
Angry Homunculus, thank you for the donation. You're absolutely right. We are going to talk about the Imperial paperwork thing that's coming up. Is that for the question of the weekend? Is there any more?
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Also, we got a donation from Angry Homunculus saying... Oh, no, we've already.
Yeah.
Sorry. Although, no, I was thinking of DJB saying, why is Hal in a hieroglyph shirt?
It's the yellow sign, so clearly. I forget to mention, we saw it at the beginning of the podcast. We are also on Spotify and other, is it Amazon as well? Amazon. So if you guys want to listen to this stuff offline, say you've actually got, like, you know, functioning jobs.
And as a bonus, I've been going back to, we've been remastering live streams into videos on the channel, and the audio from those is now on Spotify. So the old episode should be like improved as well.
Bit crisper.
So
that's crisper. And for the next question of the week, we have it for you here, which is, why would you be redacted from Imperial Records? Hashtag Inquisition. I want to know what filthy, heretical thing you did, you beautiful scum.
Anyone posts it, I feel like, just, and also for Colin's sake, anyone who's going to mention Marathi, like, yeah, that's the obvious one to go for.
We appreciate you, broken human beings who love Marathi, clearly.
Hello. Lee Joe, thank you for the 5 CHF. I'm afraid I don't know what that is, but thank you.
Okay,
I just want to say I love your content. Wow, a positive message.
Wow.
Found out about Law Crimes through me. Through me. Positive about me. Holy shit. And love the chemistry between you guys while learning a lot. Wow, holy shit. Something positive.
Thank you Christ. Very much.
We don't react well to positivity. We're not used to it. But speaking of something probably not taken that positive. Today's topic is the Inquisition. Perhaps, I don't know how the boys feel here, it's either like a big win or a massive stain on the... It's made like the necessary evil of Imperial
stuff. Depends book from book.
You've got... me and Colin will be going through this one here. I've got... Maybe Colin's got some very funky things to go with, which he's very pleased about. But we're going to start off with a slow entry into it. So first of all, the Inquisition. The formation of the Inquisition happened right at the Siege of Terror, or this year, just before the Siege of Terror itself. They are formed from the original sort of Knights Errant. If anyone here has read Horus Heresy, they know that the Knights Errant are basically... people who, or sorry, Astartes that were from either traitor legions or ones that survived Istvan, particularly Garvial Loken, shout out to my man, and Nathaniel Garrow, before I don't mention it, and Andy literally will burst a aneurysm because Nathaniel Garrow is very cool. And the Knights Errant were kind of like, they just discarded their iconography and they went around as like a special space marine sort of group for Malkador the Sigillite. And then Malkador basically went, so the Imperium now is kind of like effed for the entirety of time. So reluctantly, they had to now form something to fight against the darkness and chaos. So Malkador presented 12 of these individuals, 8 Astartes and 4 human beings. Unfortunately, Garvial Loken was left out. He was like the kid who was not invited to the group party. Tragic. And these 4 humans and 8 Astartes, he's a cool character. Thank God Erebus killed him. Just kidding. That makes me so sad.
I don't need to hear about him anymore. Thank you, Erebus.
Erebus mentioned, shutting down the stream. Basically, the Inquisition now is, they present themselves before the Emperor. They all kneel, and the Emperor says, hate to do this, boys. You know, it kind of sucks, but we've got to, you know, there's a common joke in like the Imperium, like they often made like, you know, old humanity was so bad. They had things like the Inquisition and stuff like that, you know, doing horrific war crimes. And then the Emperor now forms an Inquisition. Common, you know, Eli's probably very happy. Like the Emperor is seen as a terrible, terrible hypocrite. And the 4 humans would go on to found the Inquisition, whilst the Astartes were basically sent onto the moon of Titan, and then were sent into the warp for about 100 years, forming the Grey Knights. And the Inquisition at this time would go on to sort of lay their groundwork, and then they'd wait. They basically were waiting for the Grey Knights, and then they would go off and hunt in the galaxy. We have a donation, I think I can see it. Is there one?
Yeah, it was a little while back from Parker Summerlin.
Summerlin, $4.99, yeah. Thank you very much. I just finished Shadow Sun via audiobook. Nice. Which Xenos book should I get into next? Twice Dead King, Ruin, or Farsight?
Farsight.
Yes, sorry, Andy. Okay, calm down there.
Twice Dead King.
Twice Dead King is objectively better. Farsight's one of my favorite characters.
It leads into a better... There's more material for Farsight if you want to have more to go off. But speaking of something that's not quite far off, that's quite short-sighted, is now the formation of this Inquisition. So I'm going to start off basic. What is an Inquisitor? Seems important to mention. Inquisitors are basically the hunters of all that is wrong within Imperial and society and outside of Imperial society. They are mostly human individuals, just ordinary humans. Some are augmented, and they have special powers to hunt down either chaos or aliens, things that will pervert the Imperium from within, or most, you know, they stop plots, and they are often involved in like big mysteries. The role of the Inquisitor particularly is just, they exist in their own sort of bracket. They don't follow any other boundaries of Imperial life. They are limitless authority, and they get to go around and basically deal with threats when they come across them. And the promotion role of an Inquisitor, so usually people don't, you're not straight up an Inquisitor. You actually have to start as an interrogator. As you can imagine what interrogators do, so you... It's a pretty ruthless beginning. You learn to obviously beat the shit out of people, and you will typically then get better at it to the point where you can go on missions and you will be promoted to an acolyte. You, not everyone who is...
Hal, recruited... I think you might have reversed the order a bit.
Oh, no, sorry. It's acolytes to...
Acolytes are, yeah.
Sorry, acolyte to an interrogator.
Explicator.
Depends on the...
Oh, yeah, something... it also depends on with the fucking Inquisitor.
Yeah, because not every Inquisitor has like the same reach. Like, some people just go straight from, like, Acolyte, which is a bit more, like, ground level, then you're going out on missions. An interrogator might be someone who actually just stays on the ship and then interrogates prisoners, you know, convincing them with, you know, torturing them with hentai or something, I don't know.
I like this. It said, it's like, this is where they learn how to interrogate people. I'm like, I'm pretty sure they just picked that one up on the job. And either way, do you need to be taught how to break someone's fingers with a hammer? Like, I think I could figure that one out on my own.
It's also worth mentioning that, like, I've just finished the recent Alpha Legion book, Harrow Master, and there's, like, a bit in it where an interrogator's like, hey, I'm going to blackmail you unless you make me, like, a fully fledged inquisitor, because they're, like, an aspirant. And it's all like, oh, you kind of messed up. You better, like, promote me, or I'm going to come, like, get you with all this information that they'll, like, kill you for. And it's like, they break the rules, and they kind of can do what they like, but there is obviously, like, a board of inquisitorial people that they have to, like, clear promotions with, but the way you get promoted can be a bit up in the air sometimes. So
it can be a bit strange. Sometimes inquisitors, they almost, like, inherit their former, like, inquisitors, like, you know, their teacher's role. But often to become a fully fledged inquisitor, you need the approval of multiple other inquisitors to sort of, you know, basically say, this guy's not crazy. So, or it depends on the certain factions and loyalties within it. Yeah. But a lot of time,
the right kind of crazy.
Yeah, is he the right kind of crazy? Crimson Glory, thank you, brother. He says, take it off, Eli. Jesus Christ, that's a lot. I can take mine off for CrossFit classes. You can take it off on stream for your comfort. Wow. And you have a better build than me. He says, although I'm working on it for the Dark Gods. Thank you, brother.
Well, but this guy's donating $30 for me to take my shirt off. I'll take my shirt off for like a minute.
he'll do it at the end. Give us a flex.
At the end, all right. I guess you got away, buddy.
He got away. Often inquisitors have not all of them, but a lot of them are psychers. This is because it's a added ability, and it also helps in a way to sort of prevent the inquisitor's mind sort of being tampered with, though. Oh, sorry, Pancreas, see you down there, buddy. Thanks, DJ Beast.
Xano
as well.
Why are you so mean?
To carry on the positivity, before Lord Crumbs, I didn't like Fantasy or Eldar. Now I love vampire counts, dark elves, nice, and collector both Eldar. Thanks, Elf Simp. Wow, nice. Colin. Truly.
Holy shit, someone else being nice to me. After someone very just nice called me disgusting. I fucking showered before the Christmas
miracle.
I just got out of the shower.
Man, Colin has actually affected someone else's life financially. This is truly... Is it even a... Beastman from Sweden, thank you, says Pancras. I've read 4 Kane books and I haven't heard him mention Amberlee's breast once. Where is it, Colin? Where?
No, he mentions the Psyker's breast, not Amberlee's.
Amberlee will be coming up today, though. But so often inquisitors are Psykers. I don't know if Amberlee Vale from the Kaifas Kane books is a Psyker. She might be. I don't know if you know that, Colin.
I don't believe she is.
So not every inquisitor
is a Psyker.
Not every inquisitor is a Psyker, but it's very, very common that inquisitors are Psykers. They're often people who sort of could have been commissars or captains or something like that. They're often taken from the Scholar Progenium, whisked away, you know. Good old orphan trope in Warhammer. Love a good orphan, you know. Don't know why, they just love a good orphan. A lot of them, they do. Some of them are quite powerful psychers, but a lot of them just is a general, like, minor sense. It's just to hold off enemies, really. And as I mentioned briefly earlier, the Inquisition has no authority except to answering to the Emperor himself. But you'll often find that they will give sort of leeway to a more senior inquisitor, so that one is technically the true authority. But the Inquisition,
not being funny, but like, who's having audiences with the Emperor these days? Gilliman? Like, no one else. Like, oh yeah, it's fine, the Emperor said it's fine. It's that meme from Parks and Recreations with Ron Swanson. It's like, oh, I have a permit, it just says I can do what I want, and that's the Inquisition.
Yeah, so they pretty much can do whatever they want. This could lead to the very worst case scenario of their authority. We do have another donation. Mikhail, thank you, brother.
Thank you,
despite the mean things I say, I am grateful for all the laughs and knowledge you guys have given me. Here, have some lion butts. Thank you, brother.
Thank you.
Shout out to Colin, actually reading certain books recently. So I don't want to spoil that if he's not said it yet, but hopefully
I'm starting to read it soon.
He's starting to read some good books.
I'm going through Thanquil first, and then I'm reading that.
How much for Hal to reveal his true form? Listen, as the tallest member of Law Crimes, okay, there's no need to.
All right, settle down there, bud.
There's not much of a, I'm only like 5'11", so it's not much.
Are none of us 6 feet tall?
Nah.
My dad's 6'6".
How?
How did your mom like 5'1"? Yeah. Same here, buddy.
I'm the tallest in my line.
Lutie McShooty, Colin is a good boy. He got me to love fantasy, but his symptoms love for Marathi makes me think less of him.
Wow. All right, see, now that's valid.
That's a half compliment. Half.
So we are.
Yeah, so the most, like, the limit of an Inquisitor's authority extends to the very, like, the most crazy thing in Warhammer, which is the Exterminatus, which is where, worst case scenario, it's not used all the time, but it does happen where the planet is so far fucked that essentially the Inquisitor will go, it has to be wiped clean. They will use virus bombs. Some people, I'm sure they've heard, like, even like the Dawn of War stuff, where Dawn of War 2 does it really good in that cutscene where Gabriel Angelos, declares Exterminatus.
Gabriel Angelos.
An entire planet is essentially cleansed of all living things. This is basically when Chaos Taint is just too, like, revoke, like, just too far gone. The Inquisitor often as well will have retinues. Some of them do operate solo, but it's pretty common for them to, like, basically recruit specialist individuals over the years. Often they will increase, like, particularly like blanks as well. Blanks are often used by Inquisitors because, you know, they often face sort of rampant psychers, or they basically sharpshooters, people with specialist talents. Navigators are pretty common. They actually go through them pretty quick, so they never get to sort of have navigated them for very long. Particularly like in the case like Inquisitor Eisenhorn's probably the most famous one people think of. They often build out like a sort of, some of them have like entire armies worth, because essentially the Inquisitor himself doesn't, he has a MasterCard black card. He has no limit on his spending because it's just all paid for by the Imperium. So, and they have like mansions, houses, they'll have
Inquisitors
shit.
Have great credit.
And pretty much
they spend, it's always great.
Donkey Man USA says a Crypman theme song is The Universe on Fire by Glory Hammer. We will talk about Crypman a little bit later. Thank you, brother. But so yeah, essentially the Inquisitors never really alone. They are essentially an army unto themselves. The Inquisition was basically going strong for a few thousand years. There's like a small bit mentioned, like the early Inquisitors, they met Conrad Kurz, one of them, and then he got immediately cut in half. So they've been around for a while. And then essentially at a certain point, known as the War of the Beast, the Ordos were... Colin Keyboard. Again,
Pub started making noises, BRB.
Yeah, sorry, it's all good. So at some point, the Ordos were... The Inquisition... Yeah, the Inquisition was essentially just one big organization. They hadn't really, even despite being around for about over 1,000 years at this point, they were pretty much sort of unified under one ideology or one sort of group. There were certain things that we'll talk about later, which is like the ideologies that will eventually split.
It's
but at this point,
it's like, we got to get rid of heresy. Great. Like,
yeah, no, they just sort of, heresy they didn't, bad. They didn't really have like a main enemy. It was just threats to the Imperium that required, you know, an Inquisitor to deal with, until the War of the Beast, which is when the orcs, the massive orc invasion that almost got to Terra itself, and this caused the Inquisition to split into three, because they basically decided, okay, we need to specialize because there are like three separate threats to the Imperium.
And
one of them
is also the death of Kirill Sinderman, who was one of the OG Inquisitors, and he survived all the way to the War of the Beast before he died. And he was there from the Horus Heresy up till then.
Kirill Sinderman, shout out to my boy.
My boy.
That's Logan's sad.
Dad.
Basically, most educated man in all of Warhammer. He actually went from being an atheist into a true believer, which is quite Warhammer.
Doesn't like Emperor. Uno reverse card.
when your best mate, like when she starts glowing in front of you, so it's a bit like, that's a bit, you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like,
and your other mate gets like possessed by a gigantic demon. You're like, yeah, I don't know anymore.
I guess he didn't really have faith. He more had like belief, as in like, he like, I saw it. So his one's a little bit more literal. But there's some other cool characters, one from the Ahriman trilogy as well, also Ahriman Horus Heresy stuff, where he sort of comes about. But essentially, the Inquisition splits into three, although still under one big branch of the Inquisition. Often Inquisitors will find that if they're targeting one thing, like if it's aliens, they'll fight whatever the enemy that their investigation leads to. But they will specifically be broken into Xenos, Malleus, and Hereticus. I will explain them a little bit more later, but we've got to fully understand the 42nd millennium's like diverging areas within these different sort of ordos. Colin's going to talk about the sub-factions within.
Oh, boy.
There's some spice on our call.
Looting Machuti gave us $2. Thank you, Looting Machuti. He says, Eli out here cocking us out of a free show. Hal said I have to wait till the end, so I'm sorry.
Only if he wants to, brothers. Only if he wants to, with consent. But then, yeah, this will be a sort of brief foray into the actual, like, 42nd millennium ideologies that exist within the Inquisition.
As brief as I can make it.
So another donation by Christopher Stevens. One tenth of the way there. Sorry for all the distractions. By law crime faces photoshopped over which. Put me over the lion. I have the hairline.
Don't give me Perturabo. I don't care otherwise. Just don't give me Perturabo.
You know what I'm going to say, so I'm not going to bother.
I think we already know.
Christopher Steve says $100 for an all shirtless stream, so that's what he's referencing.
None of you want that out of me.
I think he's just referencing me.
Yeah, the rest of us are not quite. We're 6 weeks away from our prime shape.
I'll be 6 weeks away for the next 6 years. 60 years.
But Colin the sub-factions.
Right. So there's a lot of... These aren't ordos, by the way. They're different philosophies within the Inquisition on basically how do you be an Inquisitor? What should be your overall goals? What are you working for? What do you like to focus on? No, not even... What's your overall, you know, feel for how you should be an Inquisitor? The first, like, you know, you can divide them into two main groups. You got Puritans and you got Radical Inquisitors. And Puritan Inquisitors are, you know, they sound like what you'd think. They, you know, follow the Imperial Creed to the letter. Don't consort with the Xenos or the witches or the Warpcraft. None of that.
Lots of funny hats.
To be fair, they do all have funny hats, but they're good funny hats, so they're cool. Basically, be the Imperium's version of a good little boy and blow up all the bad people and don't think too hard about the warp. Follow the rules. And I do believe this is the most common, like, kind of Inquisitor. Because, you know, they're the ones like, hey, don't mess with the stuff we say is bad and you know is bad, which is fair enough.
The totalitarian regime, mostly comprised of people who are doing what they say they have to do so they don't get killed, is full of Puritans. Who'd have thought?
Who could have guessed? But that, you know, the radicals who are, you know, do have some points. You know, it's a big galaxy. It's a messy place. Sometimes you got to bend the rules a little bit if you want to get stuff done. Of note is that there is no ordo that it's like, this one generally draws radicals, this one draws Puritans, because, you know, let's look at the Ordo Xenos, right? One Inquisitor may be like, if you so much as mention not murdering that Eldar over there, no matter what they have to say, you're going with them when I kill you. Whereas other Ordo Xenos was like, you know, there's a Tyranid invasion going on, maybe we work with the Tau for a bit. One of them just kind of wants territory, the other wants to eat us. So
if you don't immediately Cato Sicarius a water cast, water cast immediately, not a Puritan. That was another one by Joseph Pollard. Thank you, brother. He says, I had to leave the stream early. Oh, sorry, brother. So I want to say, if there was a drip or drown contest, Andy the Drip Mason would clearly win easy contest. True.
Yes, he would.
He's the best dressed out of all of us.
Quite. Who is Abritus? Quizzes are definitely hiding Abritus under a rug. I was just reading
from Bloodborne. That's the one, the lost, forgotten old one.
I never finished Bloodborne.
It's the one which, like, it kind of it basically looks like a Lovecraftian monster, money.
To be fair, I don't own a PlayStation, so I can't really have finished Bloodborne because Sony refuses to just let it be on PC.
60 frame per second Bloodborne remake. Come on.
How about put it on PC remake?
Just put a PC. Be a PC port. Bro, I'm waiting.
Yeah, that's what I want. But anyway, Radical.
Oh, no. Riverside's broken again. Oh, my this. Gosh. Okay. Hopefully everyone can hear us.
As long as you can hear us, chat.
Chat, can you hear us?
Let us know. What there's no interruption. I think it's an Andy cam.
What warp demon is my dog staring at? She's very focused on the wall that way. Well, that's a problem for later. Radical. Just Andy broken. All right. Radical. Tony Hawk, the Inquisitor.
Epic.
And sometimes you also can't really tell if one's Radical or Puritan. For example, Amberlee Vale. She, like, in her memoirs, she'll write, like, yeah, radicals are just one step above heretics, and quite frankly, I wish we could get rid of them. Then she lets the Eldar airdrop an avatar of Cain onto a space station. So, you know, maybe she's a little bit more radical than she'd like to admit. It's that kind of thing.
Some of them just lie to themselves, to be fair. They don't see themselves as radical.
Yeah, there's also that, because there's no oversight in the Inquisition. Like, when you get promoted in the Inquisition, all you get is more clout, because the baseline Inquisitor is functionally unlimited power over everything ever. So really the only way is if you piss off enough Inquisitors to come down on you. So yeah, lying to yourself and just kind of going with it is perfectly valid. But we'll start with the Puritans. They have the least amount of subfactions, which I think makes sense. There's only so many ways you can differently interpret like Imperial Creed before you're no longer actually following the Imperial Creed and, you know, dogma and all that. First up are the Amalanthians. A lot of these have really awful names to say, by the way, as a heads up. They think that everything in 40K is going according to the Emperor's plan. They don't like change too much. That doesn't mean, you know, they're just going to let, well, the Tyranids happening is clearly going according to plan. Let's just let them eat that planet. It's more so, you know, within the Imperium, they're not going to be shaking anything up. They're just going to kind of keep the status quo going, which has kind of resulted in Amalanthians being about as polite as an Inquisitor is going to get, because they're like, listen, everyone here is doing their job. Things are chugging along as need be. I'm going to say please and thank you. You know I'm an Inquisitor, so I will shoot you in the head if I need to, but I'll be polite first. You know, they don't open with blowing you up. Next are the Animolian Beholders, and they're waiting for signs of Big E's return, and, you know, see if they can help speed that along.
They sound like either diseases or Pokemon.
Yeah, it gets worse. After them, you know, there's the Ardentites, who they are also waiting for Big E to come back, but they believe that he's either going to come back as a group of people. You know, it's not just going to be Big E reincarnated. It's going to be either a group of people or maybe even spread throughout mankind as a whole, which has led to other Inquisitors calling them miracle chasers to make fun of them. But on the upside, these are probably the best investigators in the Inquisition, because they're so determined to prove everyone else wrong that they will, let's say, you know, something happens on a world, they're going to get in the weeds of it, proving look, the Emperor's coming back. Look at these miracles. Look at these signs. Usually it's just a chaos cult, but by the time they're done with it, they're so obsessed with proving themselves right that they found out not only every single member of that chaos cult, but everyone they've even looked at. So very good at investigating, even if their overall goal, their ideology, probably is not right. It's probably just going to be Big E again, but hey, 40 big galaxy. You never know what could happen.
How did Andy change outfit so quick?
Holy shit.
Bro, it's so quick.
Yeah, all things aside, he's lightning with that. There's two more Puritans. The next is Mono Dominant, and this is the simplest one in the, ever. The Imperium is the only thing that should be allowed to exist. If you're a non-Imperial human, it is either integrate or we're going to blow you up. If you're an alien or chaos, we're just going to blow you up. That's it. That's Mono Dominance. They're not subtle. They're not quiet. They're the Inquisitors who think exterminatus first, talk never. And then we have the Thorian subfaction, which is such a big subfaction that it has its own subfactions, some of which are radical. It's overall more of like the broadest one is Puritan, but after we get in the weeds, it gets a little radical. They're named after Sebastian Thor, that cool fella priest who ended the age of apostasy.
Love that guy.
Cool, real one. And a lot of people think that he was either blessed by the emperor or just straight up an avatar of him. So Thorians like to look for people like him, either avatars of the emperor, just because, you know, they're a holy avatar of the emperor, or maybe even a way to put the rest of Biggie's essence in that avatar. Because, you know, at the moment, he's stuck on the chair.
The Star Child ones back in lore. There's one that believe in the Star Child thing that came back into canon.
They might have been, but there's also the thing with when that was originally in lore, the Illuminati was a thing. Yes. So I don't really know on that one.
Are they the ones that think the Emperor has children or something? Although they think the avatars, sensei? Yeah,
it might be part
of there. Or they think the Emperor might be reborn in like children or something.
It could be a mix of like the other ones or like the other like sub factions. Like all took that idea and ran with it in their own way. Like those Ardentites, like he's coming back in everyone. It's for real. But that's the end of the Puritans. Although, like Thorians, like could be looking at the Eldar for some stuff. You never know. After all, they did make Slaanesh. Who's to say you can't rework the process a bit to just put Big E in a warp body? Although that being said, the more aggressive you get with trying to bring back Big E as a Thorian, the more radical you get. After that, radicals. There's a lot of these guys. Cassophilians are first. They're another Thorian group, and they actually work with Puritans just fine. I think they're the only reason they're considered radical is what they're trying to do, because they like to practice bringing back the dead from the warp to real life, and their end goal is to do that to the Emperor. So I think it's more so radical because it's like, well, your goal's good, we like what you're doing, but it involves warp sorcery. So you're playing with fire a little bit. But from everything I could find, no one really dislikes them, especially because they're not even close to that goal. Like, there's no progress being made. Like, and in the closing days at the time of ending, they're getting ready to bring back Big E. It's more like this is a very long-term project, so... Really, the worst they'll get is people going, hey, maybe do something better with your time than bringing back the dead. That's not very productive. Very similar is the Revivificators. I hate saying that name. They're dedicated to studying the moment the soul dies, like you die, and then the moment your soul goes from real space in your body to the warp, because they're trying to figure out the how to slow that, keep you around a bit longer, or outright halt it and reverse it, bring you back. Really, it's just a different methodology from the last one, the Cassophilians. Their ultimate goal is the same thing. They're going to use the Golden Throne as a focus, since that's the thing keeping them tethered to reality. But either way, it's the same deal. Those are both mostly radical, because the rewards they can bring are potentially huge, you know, bring back the Emperor. The downside is, if that's the summoning you accidentally screw up, you're not just bringing, but you're not just summoning a demon. You might summon Khorne onto Terra on accident, because the scale of that is huge. So
it's mostly radical because it just involves the Emperor literally dying.
Yeah, it's that too. They're not radical because their viewpoints are like disagreed with. All of them, almost all of them, actually, not all of them. Some of them don't want the Emperor, but I'll get to them. Most of them would love Big E to come back. It's just, you know, Your plan is to fuck with the Emperor. It's a little dangerous.
You did have a Louis McShooty donation for $2. Thank you. Andy is the Drip King. Holy F, he says. Andy is the Drip King. Thank you for $2.
Next. Oh, God, there's still a while to go. These are the Thorians who are a little bit interesting. The Horizians were named after Horus, so that already tells you how many friends they're probably going to have. You know how Horus was kind of like the avatar of all four chaos gods? Whoa, my God.
That's fast and fine. Very nice. There.
Holy
you,
shit.
Oh, block this mix. Thank you for the $5. Or Canadian $5. We joke about Colin not seeing movies. Just wondering if the boys have any recommends for historical movies or documentaries.
Oh,
love dude. The videos, lad.
Battle 360. It was a History Channel series where the History Channel was good, and it's all about the USS Enterprise and the Pacific Theater. God, I love that show.
I just watched Shogun. If you want a current one, Shogun is pretty. Like, it's not history, but it's like very enjoyable because it's pretty authentic. So, if anyone wants to watch that. Do you remember, like, there used to be a thing on British TV, which was, like, it was, like, the Total War engine, but they only got, like, newbies to play it. It was, like, a live TV.
I remember reading about that, but I never saw it.
It was quite funny, but, like, it was, like, in Rome Total War 1, and it was pretty, like, I remember thinking about that. I thought, oh, that's actually a pretty good show, to be fair. History shows are hard to find a good one because you can
because the History Channel is Pawn Stars and worse.
I watched Demolition Derby on History Channel on the Dream TV today.
That sounds about right.
Or it's guys like cutting lumber and bringing it back to their freaking workshop or selling cars or
Alaska truckers, my dude.
So bad.
I used to like, I did like Pawn Stars though.
Oh yeah, Pawn Stars is good.
But it was absolutely the start of the History Channel's downfall.
History Channel went downhill though. It's all like conspiracy theories and aliens.
Ancient aliens.
I had another one on my brain. I think I've forgotten it. Oh, never mind. Move on. Oh, it's gonna bug me.
But yeah, Horizons. They saw how Horus was an emperor of all the chaos gods, and they're like, hey, maybe we can learn from that and use warp sorcery to give the emperor a new body to pop in. So they collect chaos tomes and artifacts, mostly for the knowledge, but the end goal would probably be using those collected artifacts to bring the Big E, give him a new body, and shove him into it. Which usually means most other people don't like them because they're actively dicking with chaos artifacts, and that is a... Well, you know what they say about looking into the abyss. But to be fair to them, they usually don't fall to chaos, but usually and never are two very different things, and it only takes one Inquisitor going off the deep end to doom a whole solar system. So, yeah, they're a little bit dangerous. Also, the founder of that belief is one of the four founders of the Inquisition, who fell to chaos, and I think the only artwork of her I could find was her talking to Abaddon, Morianna, the Chaos Witch. So maybe not the best person you should be founding an inquisitorial school of thought after, but you know, it's 40K. Not logic and reason can go directly to hell. And then we get to my favorite branch. Oh my God, I love this. Istvanism.
Oh my God.
Beautiful. So it's named after Istvan III, where the heresy officially began, you know, when all the loyalists from the traitor legions were done away with. Who's the most? Yeah, I'm going to vote for myself. I'm okay with winning this poll. Yeah, I don't know where it cut off. So Istvanism. They think there is not enough war in Warhammer 40K, so they'll just start shipping orcs to your planet if not enough is going on.
I think they're based.
I'm assuming like a Dark Eldar or someone gaslit them into thinking that was a good idea, and stupid people kept that one going. I love it though; it's beautiful.
Uh-oh. I think I hear someone stream.
Al,
playing.
I think I'm repeating you.
Am I?
What? Is it me? It is me. Yeah. You're How playing am I repeating your live stream. Myself.
I think you did your live stream up.
I have it muted.
I don't have it up. Oh God. Eli.
I promised shirtless stream.
You know what? Hang on. No, if I leave, why is it doing this?
Turn.
A common. We'll try to stitch.
I can hear that second column.
There you go. You got your shirtless. I'm freaking chub right now, but gotta do what you gotta do for the boys. I did it for you.
You all have to deal with two columns now. You know what? I'm just gonna power through this.
We might be coming out. Has anyone else got it on speakers?
Hang on. I got an idea.
Oh no, we can't even see him now.
All right, it's worse.
I'm sorry.
I unplugged my mic. I don't know how to go back. I just unplugged my mic and put it back in.
We're in the freaking minor.
I'd say like right duck now. Out of Riverside, then rejoin. That might fix it.
All right.
Appreciate you, brothers, for being patient with us. Obviously, the Inquisition is truly.
It's not our fault.
The Inquisition does not want us to know. You guys to know.
We pay for this thing. It's ridiculous.
It's so much worse.
Oh my gosh.
I think my microphone's fine there, so we'll.
Shield. I'm a pussy uses riot shield.
I think it sounds fine now.
I think. Hang on.
Yeah, it's fine now.
All right, good. We're good. Yeah. All right, next one.
Colin and Andy versus Mike versus.
Oh my god. Next one.
Next one.
Libra cars.
Now War Crimes is good.
They're like those Amalanthian fellas who don't like change, except they take it so far it loops around and becomes radical. Because let's say you suggest, like, hey, maybe this Imperial Guard regiment can temporarily get a new kind of las gun because there's a shortage. They'll just kill you for saying that. Any change is bad, even if it's good change. No change allowed. They might also be feeding Nurgle because of that, because Nurgle likes stagnancy. So, you know, there is that to consider. And Gilliman probably despises these people because he's trying to reform the Imperium, and they don't like that. Oblationists are the next one. They're also insane. They're like the Horizians, kinda. They believe that those who are truly righteous have a duty to damn themselves and use the weapons of humanity's enemies to really achieve salvation. So they will use, you know, chaotic weapons, artifacts, rituals in order to fight back the enemies of the Imperium. Which on the one hand, you know, they don't view this as a positive. They're not like, wow, we could use these cool stuff. They're generally like, no, this is a cross we have to bear. This is a burden. This is something horrible. On the, you know, on the flip side of that, they're still using chaotic artifacts, which probably will lead to more problems than it's worth. But for what it's worth, again, they're not doing this because they're like, I just want to use cool shit. They're like, no, this is a cross we must bear in order to achieve salvation.
Donkey Man, USA, Lord Inquisitor, a second Colin has hit the Vong Center. Thank you, brother. We are trying our best. We appreciate it. Thank you.
All right. Next one is the Ocularians, who try and predict the future, which usually doesn't go well because they're not, you know, siege demons or farseers. So they usually just kind of dick things up. And they have a subset known as the Antiquarti, who are not as disliked as the main one because they just look at history. You know, they take a, you know, history runs in cycles. They're like, all right, let's look at the 10,000 years of history we have and see if we can't figure something out for what's coming in the future. Like, this thing happens, then it leads to that. Is that a pattern or a one-off? But of course, because some of the Ordos like to redact history, they have a very hard job. I'm not done. We have more.
Oh, God.
The Plutonians believe that you should purposely get people possessed so you can exorcise the demon from them and make them better at fighting chaos. Fun. Which they did help teach the exorcist. I say they were the ones, I believe, who taught like the exorcist chapter how to do that. So, and they're a chapter that's basically invisible to demons. So it does have, you know.
Apart from Lucius the Eternal.
He's a special case. He doesn't count. So it does have, you know, some grounding in reality. It's just the mortality rate is like 99%. So in practice, you just get a bunch of dead bodies and one guy who has super PTSD, but demons can't see him. So if I was, you know, in charge, I'd say maybe just stick with the Bane Blade and shoot the demon. Don't go through this whole possession garbage. But there's a Space Marine chapter that does this as part of their training. So it kind of works.
The exorcists.
Yeah. There's the Polypsychana who believe mankind's going to become a fully psychic race, which, you know, is true. I like to shit on the Emperor, but I don't think he was wrong about that one. I think he was right. That was part of his goal. And a psychic awakening happened. So more people, you know, in case you forgot, because I couldn't blame you for forgetting about psychic awakening. That was the wasn't even bad. It was just GW's biggest dud event. It's like, it happened.
Is that technically happening again now? There's like a... Oh, no, I'm thinking of Prior Nexus. Never mind. Yeah, that's still going. That's
new cards.
Funnily enough, the opposite of the Psychic Awakening is what the Necrons are trying to do.
It's very much like the Force Awakens, isn't it? Like, it was relevant for a short time, and then it's completely forgettable.
Yep. But it's better than some of the stuff that's come since. Like, maybe. I don't know. They haven't... There's not been too
much. Bro, Star Wars is dead. Star Wars has
side Star Wars is Star never Wars. Going to be dead. It is never going to be dead.
It's so... I can't...
It's pretty over, I think.
It's pretty, like... The amount of times, like, the cope... Like, sometimes, as Warhammer fans, like, there's a bit of copium, but the copium in the Star Wars community...
is so bad.
It's like, oh my god, it's the droid that was in... Is in that one scene in episode 3.
I'm not saying
TV series out of it.
They don't have copium, and it's where Glup Shido comes from, so it's valid. But remember, this exact thing happened. I'm going full Antiquarte Inquisitor, Cycles of History. Yeah. This exact thing was happening with the prequels, and the EU was a trash fire. And then, oh, look, the sequels may also be garbage, but everyone was like, new Star Wars, holy shit, it's going to be great, it's going to be lovely. You're never killing that franchise.
Thank you, Evangelos Manasis. He says, nothing bad happens in Chernobyl. Off to the space gulag heretics.
Thank you.
Chernobyl, yes, what do you mean? It's a beautiful place. Did they really... They were digging in the... Didn't the Russians, they were digging in the ground, weren't they, around that?
The Russians were doing a lot of things they shouldn't have been doing in Chernobyl.
Yeah.
Is my mic still mic-busted?
No, it's fine for once.
It's like when you watch the series, at least, there's the whole thing where, like, they did everything wrong, but they should have been able to press this one button that shut the reactor down, but the button that was supposed to shut it down didn't work. It's like, even with all the incompetence, it would have been fine if that button worked, and it didn't. And yeah, terrible.
It's a good series, actually, if anyone wants to watch that. It's a good series.
But with the whole Star Wars thing, I've been replaying Knights of the Royal Republic 2, and I watched a video today going through, like, the philosophy of it, and it's like, yeah, that was a better deconstruction of the Jedi and the Sith than
Darth
The Last
Krayer,
Jedi.
Yeah. Oh my god, Raw, $66, $50. Thank you so much, brother. He says, have you thought about rating Warhammer factions good to evil based on cruelty over scale for a tier list? It's a good idea. I can see heated debates on how to rate factions, EX, Dark Elves, Dark Eldar, Witch Hunters, Inquisitors, and Black Templars, Stormlord, Necrons, Beelzebub. That's a tier list idea. How evil are people?
How evil all the various Warhammer factions
DJ Beast,
are.
I love Galactus, so I called in a ratio as a G.
That's amazing.
Star Wars is dead. And that's why so many people now like Warhammer. So
this is a conversation we can have later. We have more schools of thought.
We live in
that's where the tier list is. Star Wars tier list of characters, by the way.
That'd be fun. Fuck, where was I? Polypsychana. They want to get more people psychers, which has a habit of killing them, because when you turn someone who's not a psyker into a psyker, that usually kills them. And if it doesn't kill them, congrats, you have an untrained psyker who's even worse than normal untrained psykers because they've never had a chance to get used to being a psyker.
I wonder how they fill out blanks.
Probably don't like them. Probably not big fans.
They're like your can around here.
So they're one of the less popular ones.
Mia Love just put a comment. Star Wars died so WWE could make a comeback.
A soul for a soul. Recongregationism. I hate that name. You can stop making them so long. But they're like the closest an Inquisitor will ever get to like chaotic good. Because they think the Imperium sucks. It's awful. It's miserable. Which, I'm not going to argue them that point. I think they're pretty dead on with that one. They think it needs to be rebuilt from the ground up. And just what exists now, it needs to go. We need something better. Which, again, I find it hard to argue that point. I think it's pretty miserable at 40K. Problem is, they don't really have a plan for how to do this. And the two major plans are to just start civil wars and tear down the infrastructure, which is a very hard sell when Tyranids are at the gates. Or start these incredibly long, like, information campaigns, turn people very slowly against the existing government to the point that, you know, like, even the High Lords could ignore it, which in a vacuum probably would be a pretty good solution, except the Imperium doesn't exist in a vacuum. Half the galaxy was just torn in half. The Tyranids, the Necrons, the Eldar, the Tau. There's a lot of people that might just not give the Imperium time to fix itself. So this is, and the Radical, because they want to tear down all of the existing infrastructure, like organizations in the Imperium. So I think the thing with them is not that their goals, they're one of the few people I think you can just outright say, you have noble, well-intentioned goals in 40K. The problem is the entire setting is against them. Like they just have an impossible task that it's not going to happen.
That's so cute. Ames Bolter.
Yeah, cool.
Also that, they suggest their idea to the wrong person and are immediately declared traitor. Get out. Go to hell.
It could also be like they're radical because ends justify the means thing. So they're willing to do, like, you know, the greater good, sort of, you know, common line of like, it's for the greater good, just blew up an entire Scholar Progenium full of orphans who could have been radical commissars.
Like, even if everyone agreed with their line of thinking, it's going to get a lot of people killed, probably. So, and then we have, the Seculus Attendus School, who have an even harder job, because they think the Ecclesiarchy is holding mankind back and want to get rid of it. Good luck.
It's difficult in 40K, because when, like, they say that, but then there's, like, a living, like, you literally can see a saint.
Well, as far as I understand it, it's not that they're, they're not necessarily, they don't believe secular, the Emperor is a god. It's that, like, the Ecclesiarchy as an organization itself is like, you suck. You are awful. You need to be gotten rid of. Which, again, is so entrenched in the Imperium that where do you even start? Do you just start shooting priests?
There's a good bit in Dark Imperium Trilogy, which explains how there's the priest who becomes a militant apostolic. His name is Matthew. Obviously very sort of very on the nose there. But Matthew is, like, when Gilliman first chooses him, like, he's a very, like, humble, he's a true believer, like, supports con people, and his beliefs are technical difficulties juice. Yeah, Andy. Matthew's, like, a very good character because he's such, like, a true believer, and he genuinely, like, cares for people. But in the end, like, he has, like, his sort of personal crusade of, like, he wants to make Gilliman one of the faithful. And, like, Gilliman chose him because he wasn't corrupt at all, like the rest of the Ecclesiarchy was. But then, even in the end, when Matthew saw, like, oh, but then there's all these, like, this guy got a gilded tank. And then they had, like, these crusaders going around who, like, kill people when I tell them to. He basically, at the end of it, Matthew was like, you know, I'm not a bad person, but a tool's a tool, and I will be riding the G-Wagon with the bling god. So eventually, in the end, like, it always came full circle, where it's like the Ecclesiarchy had the resources, and Matthew's faith meant, like, he had to do whatever it took to sort of get to that end point. To be fair, he did end up saving the day, though, because he got to the Cauldron of Nurgle and basically went kamehameha. So he did that. He was right in the end, but he was also like, Gilliman at the end was like, God damn, Matthew, I hate you so much. He was like, you're the chosen one. You were supposed to destroy the Sith, not join them.
He was basically, you know, that fan in Oblivion. He's just like, by Azura, by Azura. Oh, I'll follow you everywhere. And he's that annoying ginger guy from Oblivion.
the adoring fan.
It's the sad part of the Ecclesiarch in Warhammer. Like, eventually it will somewhat seep its way in. But luckily Matthew died before he got evil, so it's
all good. I remember listening to that book and being infuriated with him as well. So it's like, I hope he dies soon. Getting fed up of him.
But then there's the thing, like, he was right. That's the, like, is
he was right. I just didn't like that he was right.
He was infuriating because he had a thing where, like, he wasn't a good listener. He was a great preacher, but he wasn't a good listener. Like, honestly, he couldn't hear what Gilliman was saying to him because he's like, listen, bro. And to be fair, it was right to him. The Emperor's telling what I'm doing, so, bro. You know what I mean? Like, I respect you, but, like,
what's the son of a preacher?
I have a bit of a higher, you know, priority list than shiny blue man.
There's only three more, by the way. We're almost done.
Almost there.
Xanthism. So remember the Oblationists, they use chaos, but they're like, we are damning ourselves in order to save mankind.
Flagellators, like the people who, as in, like, oh, it's that we're suffering for the good of the greater.
Yeah, that's like what the Oblationists, one of those first schools is. They're like, look, we're damning ourselves in order to achieve salvation. The Xanthism school is, no, we can totally use chaos safely. We're not damning ourselves. We're just goaded. We're him. We can use it safely with no problems. We know what they're doing. So they'll just, like, let's say, you know, there's Tzeentch demons invading a world. They will then summon an army of Nurgle demons, because Nurgle and Tzeentch don't like each other, as the solution to combat this.
Truly the Crypman style, isn't it?
Yeah. So, you know, fighting fire with fire, you know, it's a saying for a reason. It's a valid tactic. But in my mind, what they're doing is they have a wood fire burning down their house, so they start an electrical fire to take care of it.
Suck out the oxygen and fuel.
It's like, you're not helping. You're making things actively worse. There's an even more extreme way to handle that, which is Faeonism, which is, they're more extreme because they refuse the emperor status as both a god and the true leader of humanity, which is certainly ballsy, and tech heresy. They do the same things as the Xanthites, but worse. You know, they're whole hog in the chaos land, or xenotech, anything, tech heresy, all that bad stuff. And they want to rip down the Imperium and replace it with a system where they're the governors, where they are in charge.
Tom Warren says, getting corrupted sounds like a skill issue, truly.
I mean,
thank you, Tom.
Skill issue of will.
The Xanthite's strongest soldier, truly. But yeah, so usually most, even those Xanthites, I mean, they're always being watched. They're one step above heresy. Faeonism is where you are now a heretic, and this whole, like, philosophy was declared traitors. They were given excommunicate traitoris and all hunted down. Some survived and they were quietly rebuilding power. But to my knowledge, this was one of those things when it was the time of ending and GW wasn't moving 40K forward. So don't expect this plot line to go anywhere, because Inquisitors tearing down the Inquisition is not going to sell as well as bringing back a Primarch. And then there's the last one, which is, I'm firmly in this school of thought, Xenos Hybris. They believe at looking at, you know, all the aliens in the galaxy and being like, let's learn from them. Not necessarily make friends. Not necessarily make friends, although they are usually of that bent. But they're like, you know, the Eldar ruled the galaxy for quite some time. Figure out what they did right. What did they do wrong? Let's learn from what they did right and avoid the wrong. The Tau seem to be, you know, they've got their shit together. Let's learn how they keep their empire together and go from there. What are they doing wrong? Avoid that.
I'm just imagining one of these guys watching the fall of the Eldar and just having the bit where, like, they're starting to, like, kiss and skin each other, and he's just there like,
avoid that one.
I don't know what we can glean from this. I don't know what's useful here.
On a smaller scale example of that, such as, there's an example in the Eisenhorn book, using grain that's been altered by Xenos tech, so it produces more yield. It just, but then a lot of the Imperium be like, oh, it's been touched by Xenos or whatever. But again, it's just a thing where, like, it's just a small scale use of Xenos technology.
Yeah. It's like, again, it's like, it's acknowledging that, hey, maybe the other factions have some things going for them, that they're still around. How can we use this? It's not necessarily friendship, although a lot of them are going to be like, hey, we can make a truce with the Tau. We don't, at least for now, we don't got to worry about them. They're pretty small. Tyranids are pretty big.
I'm assuming they keep a very wide berth from the Black Templars. Like, where are they crusading? We're going to steer clear of them.
They probably don't want to mess with them. And then I guess just we're through all of them, just as like some final notes, like two things. One is that, again, these are not hard schools. These are like branches of thought. Inquisitors can change their minds. Usually it's like you start as a Puritan, you go to become a radical, excepting if, like, you know, a radical Inquisitor was who you were an acolyte to, you're probably going to take after your master. But general trend is you start as a Puritan, and over time you're like, all right, let me break the rules just once. And then it works. So you're like, all right, we'll break them a couple more times. I'll try to avoid it, but, you know, and then it goes, I'll do it a couple more. And then you're, you know, you get lost in the sauce, and now you're summoning demons to fight demons. But again, there's nothing saying you can't go the other way. Maybe you have a horrible experience. You're a radical. Something goes horribly wrong. And you're like, well, not doing that anymore. I'm a Puritan. We're done with this. It's solely up to the individual Inquisitor. There's no school for Inquisitors. It is
they often use the tools of the enemy against them. But then they also, the most infuriating thing is that they it's quite common they end up switching, isn't it? Whatever you start as, you always end up as the opposite.
Yeah. It's literally, there's no school for Inquisitors. It's just your master grabs you and you might get promoted to become one. That is how you become an Inquisitor.
Oh, another donation by Crimson Glory. Thank you again, brother. Colin saying Xenohybris gave me a completely different mental image of what he meant.
No, that's the me school. That's my Xenohybris.
He does wish to be conjoined with Marathi.
The Ordo Marathi.
Oh, you could. It would be like okay, that one Ordo. Right. It's just me.
Truly degenerate. Absolute.
And then
it's just that meme of Always Marathi. Sunny, where it's the big cork board, and he's just there like
Marathi.
It's just all pointed at.
And then just the last thing of my yap train is that usually the path is a common consensus that radicals are on the path to damnation. It's just how far along are you before you fall and it's time to declare you a traitor? Because, again, like I said, most Inquisitors, I believe, are Puritans. So they're called radical Inquisitors for a reason. It's like you are going a bit far. What you're doing is a bit much. So the general idea is that once you become a radical, you're probably on the path of damnation. But again, there's your schools of thought. You can change your mind, believe it or not. That's a skill people can do.
Or as Eisenhorn has said, certain like Inquisitors, when they got like a stick up their arse, like someone's normal middle ground is someone else, you know, is someone else's radical.
Yeah.
Because some Puritans are literally like, you looked at an Eldar for more than 3 seconds. You know, it's so over. We've got to immediately wipe out your bloodline.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's totally up to individual. Oh.
Stealthy 47 says Crippen did nothing wrong.
Like I said, they exiled him from the Inquisition, but they never said he was wrong.
It happens. It happens a few times to different Inquisitors. You know, yeah. You know, out on the lads' weekend, you get just declared hereticus, and then
drink sparkling water.
You come back. Thank you, Colin, for that sub-faction. That is quite a lot.
Yeah. It's also being punished for it is entirely dependent on who you're hanging out with and what Inquisitors or other Inquisitors are around watching you do your thing. Because no one else outside of the Inquisition can do a damn thing to stop you. Except maybe the custodians if they're around, but there's only 10,000 of them. They're probably not around. I heard "and" also, and then stopped.
I know he's on mute.
No, he wasn't on mute when it stopped, though. Yeah.
Oh, pain. I'm gonna lose it. But speaking of that, the actual instead of having like the sub factions of trains of thought. What does that say?
The Inquisition is cutting the stream.
He's been silenced.
No Guinness to the account. No, but I do have Guinness in my house again. I'm gonna make a Gonster later.
Speaking of those are the main trains of thought, but it's important to understand that like that's before you even get to the actual Ordos. This is just the main different, 10,000 years worth of ideas being generated. So the main three Ordos, we're going to go through the minor ones here, probably quite quickly, because they don't have much lore. The main ones are Ordo Xenos. It's pretty much what you think it is. They investigate aliens, influence of aliens, so things like Tau particularly, Eldar, Dark Eldar, Orcs are sometimes, it's not really a thing that they need to do with Orcs, because they're not really infiltrating Orcs, they're kind of in your face. And again, this one created after the War of the Beasts. That's their first thing. They actually have very strong ties with the Death Watch, which is the sort of unique space marine group / chapter where they get recruits from other fully fledged chapters, and then like people spend like a period of time in the Death Watch. So Death Watch kill teams are often either accompanying Ordo Xenos Inquisitors. Tom Warren thinks this no sane man would drink a Gonster.
That's whatever Colin's having.
Colin's having a Gonster, apparently.
I'm gonna go to the store. I'm gonna grab a Monster Energy drink, and then I'm gonna mix it with Guinness. Oh. It's the Gonster.
Jesus. Wonderful. Malleus is the next one. Malleus is... To be fair, Ordo Xenus is actually, I think, the most populated with Inquisitors, just because Chaos is a little bit more subtle, whereas the plots of there are like more like there's one Chaos plot to ruin a planet, whereas Ordo Xenus, there's so many in sort of interactions with aliens on the sort of daily, really, for the Inquisitors, sorry, for the Imperium. Ordo Malleus is basically destroying demonic threats. These are often the Inquisitors that are pretty like bulked out in armor, so they're like these ones a lot. Because these ones are like, they're not really dealing with average enemies. These are dealing with like the worst one. And they were born after the Horus Heresy. They're kind of the main one, really. They still, because they're sort of what the Inquisition was founded for. And they have very strong ties to the Grey Knights, which are the, the eight Space Marines that were sent to Titan to form a unique chapter born of entirely of Psykers who battle demons, you know, good old Angron got, you know, bounced, got body slammed back into the warp. The Grey Knights are often accompanying with Ordo Malleus or take instruction / information with Ordo Malleus. Hereticus, which I kind of think is more of like my favorite one, just in terms of like I hear like in stories, which is they root out heresy, mutation, you know, evil people, Psykers. They essentially are the police force at these. Looking like a damn awesome sultan.
You look like a general in medieval Total War.
Jesus Christ. These are the more like they are dealing with like the quote unquote rot within the Imperium. Often the Hereticus ones have the most amount of variety, probably with ideologies, because they define like what is a threat to the Imperium. And these ones actually have strong ties, supposedly, to the Sisters of Battle, although I've not heard it in too many stories necessarily, but they essentially, the Ordo Hereticus didn't actually exist initially with the founding of Xenos and Malleus. This one was formed much later during the Age of Apostasy, so after the Sisters of Battle sort of came about, really. Because it was with the whole, you know, someone could literally almost topple the Imperium from within, so that's when it sort of became big. Now onto the minor Ordos. By the way, some of these have just like less than a sentence of lore, so we're going to have to go through these pretty quickly. There's Ordo Aegis. Remain vigilant over the Cadian Gate. Not really much anymore.
They're either out of a job or their job is infinitely harder now.
Yeah, it's kind of the gate's kind of, you know, now circles the whole building. So, you know, it's the whole fence.
The building is the galaxy.
Yeah, there's some bits in the Eisenhorn story where like he goes to Cadia and he speaks with some of them there. They often do recruit from the actual Cadians, so a lot of Ordo Aegis, I think, are Cadians, which is interesting.
I like to imagine at least one of them must have been sleeping when the Great Rift happened, so he wakes up and finds out, oh man, I'm not going to bed for another 3 months.
Like, he wakes up. There's Ordo Astartes, overseers of the Adeptus Astartes, the Space Marines. These ones, from what I know, they mostly are like focused on testing like purity of gene seed and things like that. Often they get killed by the Dark Angels, this order, so they don't really live that long. Again, like any encounter, I think, what's the one, was it the Lions, the Sons of Dawn chapter, the Golden Lions or the something Lion chapter, they, I think, maybe pissed off this one and they started basically attacking and sniping off an entire chapter of Space Marines because they could. Ordo...
Funny.
That's actually like one of the most infuriating stories in Warhammer.
This is the revolt. Why is Andy now a Fallout 4 Nuka World character? For the two parts.
Lawrence of Arabia with a got vitiligo. Jesus Christ. Ordo Astra. They study astronomy and stellar information. Probably the most useless, I'm not going to lie. Because people have been studying the stars forever.
To be fair, though, like they keep like stellar maps up to date, which is very important because the Imperium doesn't know how many planets it actually has.
I take my statement back. Then they're probably very useful.
Like it's day to day, it's not the most helpful, but for like grand strategic planning, it's like that's worth looking into.
There's Ordo Barbarus, which monitor pre-industrial worlds. So I guess there's obviously like just being pre-industrial is you're quite vulnerable to things like chaos, particularly in like, you know, bloody barbaric tribes and things like that. But it's also Chaos Cults just may want to worm their way into these sort of things. Surprised they need a whole ordo for that, because it must be, again, the Imperium is quite, there's a lot of variety. There could be, you know, nice planets, you know, verdant worlds and luxury hotel planets to literally man is still using stick.
Mm-hmm. I would say it's probably like the easiest, once things go wrong, the easiest Inquisitor like job to have. It's like, oh no, I have power armor, they have sticks. What am I going to do? Like,
you talk with idiots all day.
Yeah, but you don't really need to deal with them. Just look out for signs of chaos corruption. And if things are going wrong, just shoot the guy who's, you know, summoning corn demons. He has an iron sword at best. And then you're good. Problem dealt with.
There's a Horus Heresy bit in one of the novels where, like, they mentioned one of the word bearers got killed by a guy with a wooden spear because he got stabbed through the throat, and they're really like, everyone's like, oh man, that guy's gonna be so good. But it's like, they're like, that's like, they thought it was embarrassing. Ordo Chronos, which does come up in the Ahriman book, supposedly this one they study time, and they have like special, when they describe them in the novel, they had like special chronometers like on their ship. Like every single person in the ship has chronometers, even members not the Inquisition, just to study how particularly the warp affects time, and obviously trying to help things in the future. But these people, they're all vanished. This entire Ordo disappeared. Mm. So obviously they've either gone really far in the past or really far in the future. So they're basically gone. Ordo Custodium is, this says based on Terra. I imagine they probably help with the custodies, but
I think I read they're just yet another group of people keeping Terra safe and in check, because it's such a mess that they need to.
Yeah, they're probably a bit generally. I mean, there was like a thing a while ago, was it end of ninth maybe, with the custodians. Like, there was a whole Gene Sealer cult on Terra, so it's like, whoops, someone missed that. Ordo Desolatus. I don't know if they have anything on them. I don't know if Colin remembers something from them.
Oh, we know nothing about them, but the Ordo is just one guy. So,
Brian,
you want to know how easy it is to make an Ordo? Call yourself a member of the Ordo whatever, and there's now another Ordo.
Well, considering it's Desolatus, and maybe it's something to do with end times, desolation sort of purposes. Also, Stealthy, for a donation there. Thank you, brother. So Space Wolves did not get away with the killing a bunch of the members of the Inquisition.
Yeah, but
they kind of did.
The
Inquisition definitely, they actually avoid them sometimes. They're just like, they know they'll win to fight them, so it's funny. They're bawling. We've got next one, which is Ordos Excorium. This one just monitors exterminators. That's a hell of a job, to be fair. They just watch worlds die constantly. Ordo Machinium, which oversees the Adeptus Mechanicus. I bet they have no success in that, because the Mechanicus does not care for oversight at all. Ordo Maledictum, which oversees issues relating to the Great Rift. I think this one was founded probably not that long ago then. Maybe they probably have no luck. When they say all issues relating to the Great Rift, this is also to do with the Psychic Awakening, I imagine, to be fair, because the massive amount of psychers popping up is obviously a vulnerability for the Imperium. Ordo Militarum, which oversees the Imperial Guard. I think maybe Amberly Vale might have been part of that, or possibly. Minor Ordos are not really mentioned in many books. Or it might be a thing where it just might be in like one specific area. I don't imagine there's many Inquisitors that oversee the Imperial Guard in total, because there's just so much Imperial Guard. Ordo Necros, unknown purpose, but I guess we can probably imagine it's probably related to the spicy undead boys.
It could just be death in general.
Mm-hmm. Could do, yeah.
Again, there's so many, we just, their lore starts and ends with, you exist.
Someone said Necros. A link disappeared, someone nearly leaked there. Adult material. Ordo Obsoletus, known to have investigated the destruction of the Colocurst of Kestis Minor. I don't even know what that even means. The fact that it's called Ordo Obsoletus is funny as hell, because they're obviously there's no point in even having. They're probably a fake event. Ordo Originatus says tries to uncover the mystery of the Inquisition's origins.
Wow.
My God, that's how useless they are. Ordo Redactors, which Colin has a funny little tidbit about. Yes, if you want to talk about that, Colin.
Well, you see, there's the Ordo... hang on, let's see where the other one is. There's the Ordo Originatus, whose whole job is to make sure someone knows history. Someone needs to know what's actually happened and isn't just myth and legend. The Ordo Redactus's job is to make sure the only thing left in people's minds and textbooks are myths and legends and not the uncomfortable truth of things like the Horus Heresy. So these people are either working together, or because it's 40K and they're probably not, we just have two entire ordos of Inquisitors whose job is wasting everyone's time.
One's bookmakers, one's book burners, basically.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ordo Sanctum, which oversees the Ecclesiarchy, they're doing a terrible job, clearly, because the Ecclesiarchy is very corrupt in Warhammer. Ordo Scriptorum, monitor imperial records and communiques. Probably the hardest job out of anyone, I won't lie. That one seems like impossible. Ordo Senatorum. Again, something's just unknown. I'm pretty sure something's just made up. Ordo Sepulchrorum. I can't even pronounce this one right. Sepulturorum. They research plagues. I think Colin mentioned them slightly before, particularly the zombie plague. And yeah, they clearly haven't got anything back to us yet.
They was merch from Andy.
Ordo Sicarius, founded to police activities of the Officio Assassinorum. This was sort of similar time of apparently when obviously Goj Van Dyer was about. Same time as, I guess, Hereticus was formed, but I don't think the Assassinorum... There's been events where the Assassinorum as well just kind of do what they want, because hard to stand up to the Assassinorum. Ordo Thanatos, unknown purposes. And then, funny enough, Ordo Necros is actually not the Necromon, because there's Ordo Vigilus, which oversees the Ordo of the Necros one. It's an Ordo to oversee another Ordo. Which is so dumb.
Helpful.
But lastly, on today's episode, famous Inquisitors, just sort of a few probably some of us have heard. We're starting by different Ordo. So Ordos Malleus. There's one called Courtiers, who probably is getting a new model at the time of recording. He's got like a double... He actually has an eagle, which has two heads, like a living eagle. And he wears like nice, like renowned golden armor. He's also seen at the end of the... Arcs of Omen campaign, as he's the one seen readying all the Inquisition elements. Hector Rex, I can't remember if he's from one of the games or not, possibly. There's Quixos, who is in the Eisenhorn novels. Quixos is a radical Inquisitor who literally has like a horse face, and I'm not messing with you. This is one of the guys who like he goes so far down like the radical route that he actually thinks like people interrupting his radical his whole plan was to basically destroy and recreate like Cadian gates, and to do that he would sacrifice people, like sort of a psychic like sacrifice to basically remake a psychic Cadian gate. This is way before Cadia would fall, so he could have been right, but Quixos essentially is so radical that he literally thinks people trying to stop him are chaos, so he's like, what's wrong with you? There's a quiz called Amazi. I've never heard this one, unfortunately. There's one just called Covenant. I don't know who Covenant is. Maybe. Inquisitor Erasmus. Again, not sure. Carter Valanovas. Again, it's probably some short stories I've not read. And then there's one called Titus Endor, who was in Ordo Xenos, but he actually got blackmailed and he had to join Ordo Malleus. Titus Endor was like basically the best friend of Eisenhorn when they were growing up. They had the same master, and Titus Endor is a bit of a massive goofball. I think this guy mostly works solo and he wears like cool armor and stuff, but this guy is like an absolute, like, he's just literally, imagine like old like Civil War general as a human being. He's a very bizarre figure. And then on to Ordo Xenos, which is probably the more famous one. We start off with Crypman. For any context for people, Crypman is the guy who basically came up with the Tyranid counter strategy. I don't know if he discovered the Tyranid necessarily. Might have done. But Crypman essentially basically went, you know what we need to do with the Tyranid? We don't need to fight them or defend them. Well, sorry. He initially came up with like how to sort of starve out Tyranid Hyphae by exterminating planet. And then he came up with the brilliant idea of like, you know what, those orcs over there, they're Tyranids. Why don't we send them to fight each other and perhaps they'll reach a stalemate rather than they're kind of like Dragon Ball Z characters and they actually just got stronger each time they fought each other. So now the Tyranids high fleets that have fought orcs have actually won, consumed a load of biomass, and they've gotten stronger.
Yeah.
So thank you, Critman. And I think he's half dead as well.
We have a Crimson Glory donation. $2. Oh. Thank you. Rex is the Giga Chat from Vrax.
Oh, thank you, Crimson Glory. Thank you, brother.
And, Lucas has informed me the Inquisitor from Chaos Gate was hot.
I think that's on the thumbnail, actually.
Yeah, he's cooking.
Auto Xenos as well, sorry, is the most renowned one. Gregor Eisenhorn. Eisenhorn, obviously, his whole journey is like he started off as a strict Puritan, and then over his course of his sort of career, he sort of ends up on the more slightly radical side, and you sort of see the effects of what he goes through to become a radical Inquisitor. Emil Darkhammer. I think Darkhammer is the one who's in the pretty chunky power armor. I think he's related to the First War of Armageddon. I think, from what I know of a tidbit of lore on him, he's the one who basically says, don't mess with the space walls because they're just going to come after us, so it's not worth it. Commodus Voke, who's actually a colleague of Eisenhorn. He's often appeared in quite a few of the Eisenhorn novels. Voke is essentially a bit more of like an older Inquisitor, one of the oldest Inquisitors. And this guy was very, he had the largest retinue of anyone. He literally had an army, but he does sort of fight. He's an ally of Eisenhorn, even though Eisenhorn says they're not friends, and the guy doesn't understand sarcasm, but he does like him. Helena Valeria, I can't remember where she's from, but I've heard the name of the Inquisitor. Gideon Ravener, who was an apprentice to Eisenhorn, who then got blown up in a huge attack. He basically, his whole body was burned, scarred, and his basically got paralyzed, and he's now sitting in like the sickest wheelchair ever been made. And he was a powerful psyker, and he's even more powerful. But Ravenor is known to be quite lenient with, even though he's in Ordos Hereticus, he's quite lenient with Xenos. He's actually an ally of certain Eldari factions, and they even let him on to their craft world because they respect him so much. What's that from Andy there? Ravenor 40k professor. Oh, he's Professor X. That's true. I wonder who his like equivalent of Eric, Magnus or Magneto would be. Jenna or Cheriel. Don't know who she's from. Valaine Ramus. Some of these are just unknown ones. Kyria Draxus, unknown. And then there's the one from Kaifas Kane. Oh, sorry, what's it? Colonist off the top of my head.
Amberly Vale
also, sorry, it's not on the list, weirdly enough. Amberly Vale is also from Ordo Xenos. She's kind of cool. I think she honestly will be involved in like Archivus Kane video, so I don't want to go into her too much here, but she's a interesting character who basically is quite non-traditional as what you think an Inquisitor would be. She's almost quite like a normal person, which is quite cool. Helldane, who was a apprentice of the previous Inquisitor called Commodus Voke. Helldane's weird because he's essentially, even though Voke's quite an understanding but like staunch ally of Eisenhorn, Helldane hates Eisenhorn. Like their first mission, Helldane got mauled by like a massive like snow leopard weird thing because of Eisenhorn, and he's like, his face is all like messed up, and he becomes like the most Puritan Inquisitor you could ever think of, until he actually lives for like hundreds of years, and eventually he appears in the Sabbat World Crusade with Gaunt's Ghost. And he literally says he looks like a weird, like muzzled, twisted creature at the end of it. He looks so weird. Like, apparently no one questions it. They're like, yeah, that guy's a thing. Now on to the last bit, which is Ordos Hereticus. The absolute copy pasta here for Fyodor Karamazov, who obviously is clearly not taken from Brothers Karamazov of Dostoevsky there. Tyrius is apparently a one who looks exactly like the name Typhus, but is not. So he's an Inquisitor.
We swear they're different.
I swear they're different. Silas Hand. I can't remember where Tyrius or Silas Hand are from. They might have been involved in short stories. Erasmus Crowell, also Crowell. I can't remember where Erasmus Crowell is from. I don't know if he's one from one of the video games, possibly, or he's in some other shorter stories as well. People in the chat might be able to help out there if I'm missing somewhere. Karamazov from TZ. The quiz to Karamazov is literally the one in the massive throne. He is so cool.
The throne of judgment.
What about Obi-Wan Sherlock Colossus? Clouseau. Obi-Wan Sherlock Clouseau.
When he was around, he was the first Inquisitor.
Yeah, that's an actual thing. Katarina Greyfax as well. Greyfax is the Inquisitor who basically was kept... I'm remembering now. One of the female ones I said earlier, I think it's Valaine Erasmus. She's the one who's the mortal enemy of Katarina Greyfax. And Erasmus, I think, is the one who gets basically stuck in Trazin's labyrinth, and then he puts like things in her brain, and then he goes like, "It was so." He's the one who he writes the famous letter to, and he basically thanks her for making donations because like her rescue squad tried to come save her, and he was like, "Thank you for donating to the museum." Katarina Greyfax is the one who is on Cadia when it falls, and then joins the Celestine Crusade, joins the Brute Gilliman, makes it all the way to Terra. Then has like some sort of adventures with Saint Celestine. I think Katarina may have been, so Greyfax is quite a Puritan because she's even suspicious of like Imperial saints, which is like obviously, bro, that's literally like the embodiment of the Emperor. And then there's one guy who's not in belonging to any of the orders apparently, and his name is Lichtenstein, which I said before. Lichtenstein is just a guy who doesn't belong to any orders. He's just there, you know, Lichtensteining about. He's obviously. He probably sends people to war and comes back with more soldiers, if you know what I mean. So, if anyone knows their history, they'll probably appreciate that. That's kind of that's the main thing about the Inquisition. I do have a bit about Eisenhorn, but I'm going to say that for another episode because Eisenhorn has so much lore in that, and I think when we have this whole episode, it will obviously be too much. But Eisenhorn will be a video I'll be happy to make some another time. Does anyone have any closing thoughts on Inquisitors, Inquisition, or stories? Sorry, Andy.
we have a donation from Angry Homunculus for two euros, whatever, pounds. Thank you very much. Greyfax and Celestine, OTP. I'm getting my broom out to shoo you away. But thank you.
Is awesome. He's linked to the story of a death of an angel with the Primarch.
Oh, seal. Yeah, that guy. Who you'd think would be infinitely more important than he actually was, but no, we move away from that.
Funny enough, there's almost too much Warhammer lore at times. I sometimes feel that. But essentially, that is the Inquisition for today. Apologies for the technical stuff. Okay, go ahead, Con.
I have one last story. It's not much of a story. It's like three sentences of lore, but it makes me funny. It makes me giggle. There was once an acolyte named Abigail Cruz. And usually, when you go from acolyte to inquisitor, this takes decades and decades and decades. It took her 3 years because it turns out her father, who she thought was dead, was actually an inquisitor. And he was helping her, you know, he was helping his kid along the way get her into power. And as thanks for that, the moment she became an inquisitor, she denounced him for misuse of his power. And they now hate each other.
Wow.
Wow.
It wasn't much, but it's just goofy little.
What about that guy?
Inquisition is a shit show.
Stealthy voice. What about that guy that Logan Grimnar decapitated?
Oh yeah,
that was a Grey Knight. I'm pretty sure it was.
No, I think he did that to a Grey Knight and an Inquisitor.
That I think that was also. Was that the Changeling? I think it was. If I remember correctly, I think it was Darkhammer, but it was actually the Changeling pretending to be Darkhammer. If I remember correctly,
nothing can ever just happen. Everything needs to be chaos. No, it's been 10,000 years. No, things can never just go wrong on their own because the Imperium sucks. It's always chaos. What's narrative consistency? I've never heard of it.
MP Bro says, "Brought my Eisenhorn mini yesterday. Cheers.
Nice and thank you.
Nice. That's pretty. Eisenhorn is Eisenhorn is a good story, to be fair. If anyone would like wants to get into just like straight up on the novels, if you already got a standing knowledge of Warhammer, just go for Eisenhorn. It's a like it doesn't let down. The my only downside about those
say Crimson Glory. $5, thank you. On the blood of our fathers, on the blood of our sons, we swore to uphold the covenant. God, that speech is fucking great.
Thank you, brother. Thank you, Crimson Glory. Yeah, if we missed anything, hopefully Buzz will like let us know. Thank you for all the donations everyone made during the stream. Apologies for the technical difficulties.
As Andy's disappearing again. Oh my gosh. God. He's the thumbs up is consistent.
He's here. He's happy to be here. We will be, for people listening later, it will be smoothed out. We promise.
Hopefully.
We've got some more tier lists coming soon. Got some gaming streams probably just when we in the mood. We're doing one up at least one every week or 2 weeks at this state at this rate. So be sure to pop along there. Let us know what games you want us to play, because obviously we're serious gamers over here. truly not
petition for more Fortnite
game.
Please.
Yes, more Fortnite. Because I actually enjoyed that, so I'm going to get good at that.
Wow.
I need to carry. Thank you, everyone.
Feet tier list is not happening, Rose Pepe.
Star Wars tier list, though, actually, I think I said earlier. We need to
do we haven't done that.
If that being said, though, I think everyone, thank you so much for listening, watching, liking the streams, the particular streams.
Plural.
We'll try and stitch it all together, and we will see you guys soon on the next one. I don't know if we'd I think it might be a fancy one possibly soon coming up for a
what is this one? I thought Packers and Work was Alternate History Hub's cousin.
Jesus, I don't know if it's a compliment or an insult.
I mean, I quite like his stuff and have for like a decade, so
Tom Warren, don't worry, Hal, you're already better than Colin. I guess that's a video game. I'm about to say as a person, he's better than me.
This is absurd. No, don't say that either.
Colin fell off. Jesus. Helldivers, actually. Probably maybe Helldivers would be a good idea. No, technically, it's tax deductible getting that game because we're playing it on stream. That being said, everyone, thank you so much for listening, watching, donating. We appreciate you. Love you all. And we'll catch you on the next one. Peace.
Take care.
Cheers.